Rather than giving like a full lecture, which is what I usually do, is I come in and I give people, because it's only an hour and because I think we're going to have less than an hour in reality, does anyone know, after this is probably dinner, and nobody wants to be late for dinner. So, you know, starting a shiur is one thing, but missing...
45 minutes.
Right, I don't even have the full hour. So what I really wanted to do was hear from you, if people would give me, raise their hand and just tell me, by the way, I see you. Okay, just put some, what you feel are some of your biggest time issues.
I've been chasing you out too much. One, email, like how to manage email.
Okay.
And I have two questions. You know, one is that you can be very quick, right? Yes, no, maybe so. But then you lose the relationship, and maybe email is a substitute for the telephone now, so that you should build a relationship by having more of a discussion. And the second issue is time when you're either meeting with people or on, either face-to-face or even on the phone. Again, that fine line between being to the point and getting things accomplished and yet not losing the relationship.
Okay. I'm not going to answer the questions. I'm just going to take them and then I'm going to address them. Go ahead. Other issues?
My old question with you regarding meal management and scheduling, just getting a lot of guests, scheduling the week so that it's not all day Friday.
So that it's not all day Friday. Okay.
I don't really care about Jewish people. I really only care about myself and my family.
Which is like,
so in terms of time management, like, honestly, like, they're taken care of. And so how would you, if you could, like, you know, allocate time, like, 24 hours a day, what would you put yourself, your husband, your children?
Okay. Okay. Anything else anyone wants to bring up? Go ahead.
Me? I'm probably younger than a lot of people here, so I have much younger children, but I think my first question is when you're involved in Kirov, there's kind of like a really big blur between like your family time and your friends' time and your people that you're working with time, and programs are all hours of the day. So kind of like, is there a solution? How do you kind of set boundaries or
okay.
Okay.
Any other major issues that people want to bring up?
Yeah, so I'm working with somebody right now that's a hoarder.
Okay.
And they have no time structure at all, and I kind of don't even know where to start with that.
Okay, that's the kind of thing you should meet privately with me. We're talking about more issues that people have in general that I'm going to bring up, but meet with me privately and I can give you some...
Okay, you can start me off. Great.
Yeah. Did you have something? Okay.
I feel like there's so many things that can't be delegated. Meaning, I could have cleaning up, but she can't organize. I have to organize before she comes. And you know, since Torsky mentioned, sometimes it's okay if you're feeling tense, have someone else read your child the book. But if you want to be present, then you want to read the book. But you know what I'm saying? So like,
right.
So how do you delegate things or more? Right. There's so much that can't
okay.
be.
Okay. So because great. So. Because we had like very limited time, I didn't bring like the schedule into my, and plus I think a lot of the women have heard it. I decided to do something very different this time than I normally do. I want to give you a principle, and then I brought handouts and I brought a whole thing, and I want to go through this. Is one of the things that people don't realize is that all time management, all organization, all juggling, all of it is really it's not going to solve our problems and give us 26 hours in the day. It's just not. What they are is they're tools. And those tools, if we use them properly, can help us. But the real baseline underneath of it is planning. In other words, whether you're talking about time management or meal management or delegation or the juggling issue, which is slightly different, so I'm going to bring that up in a minute, whether you're talking, in other words, the bottom line is that whatever we want to do, it takes planning and pre-thought. This was like Revolba always said this. He says, things don't happen, Mela. things take planning and pre-thought. So whether you're talking about creating a schedule or my stepping into Shabbos, and I want to just tell you this, what I did is, I knew I wouldn't be able to cover every topic, so I did bring handouts for everybody, meaning any topic you want, I brought all my handouts. So everybody can get, you can get your handouts to work on it. Anybody can meet with me, obviously, about other things also, but about the time management issues. But I want to just point out, because what you'll see is the theme in all my handouts also, whether you're talking about the schedule, is all of them are a visual aid. Okay, if you sit down and take a minute to plan and to think about how I want to do this, it doesn't matter if you're talking about a schedule or a menu plan or stepping into Shabbos, or if anybody knows any of my classes in Ne'er La'elof, stepping into Shabbos, stepping into Rosh Hashanah, stepping into any Chag, Pesach preparation, it's all about the same thing. Stopping, taking the 5 to 10 minutes it takes to organize those and plan them down and use the visual aid. And I just want to say one other thing is, it has to be simple. Like, you know, people always say, have you seen this planner or that organizer or this thing or this system? And I always say, unless it's super simple, it just doesn't speak to me. Because sometimes the systems are so complicated. Or these, like, people show me these, like, beautiful organizers and they look so good. And it's like, to use this would need, like, a college degree, you know? Like, you know, I sometimes feel just like, what's wrong with just taking a piece of paper, you know, and just writing it down, okay? So if you ever, somebody once said to me, your handouts are so plain, don't you want to, like, up them? I'm like, no. I don't, as a matter of fact. My whole system is, I want things, like, let's desimplify. This is a tool. It's a visual aid, and the simpler, the better. That's number one. So it's a matter of taking the time to plan and to do it. I'm going to go through some of my charts so that we can, I'm going to spend a few minutes on that. But I want to go on to just the other thing which people are bringing up, which is the juggling aspect, which was a big part of what everybody was talking about here, which is that, you know, everybody is always juggling because we have so many roles and so many things to do, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we are so busy. Anybody who's saying that they're doing so much, that they're juggling, means that you're successful enough that you are married, have kids, have the people in Kiruv, etc. So it's like the, I always say, the challenge of the success. Baruch Hashem, we're in that category, and our lives are busy and full, but we have to decide, and that's about prioritizing and setting goals. So I want to take a few minutes to talk about prioritizing and setting goals, and then I'll do the charts, and then I'll open up for more questions, okay? So prioritizing, setting goals has to do with recognizing that I'm not going to be able to do everything, and there are a lot of things I need to do. And I remember, I just want to say this, like, when you go to school or you read business books, I always remember this, that they used to talk about, like, what's the most important thing, right? 1, 2, 3. And I used to laugh. Like, I remember when I was reading it the first time, I was sitting on the couch nursing my baby. My bigger kid was in the bathroom screaming, mommy, mommy. The phone was ringing, and my husband was coming home for dinner, and there was, like, no dinner ready. And it's like, wow, 1, 2, 3. Like, what are they, you know? Hello, what are you talking about, right? So really, what my business partner and I developed was this idea of, like, recognizing that there are things that are necessary. There are things in our lives that have to get done because our lives run on them. You have to make meals because we want to eat, not because, like, I necessarily love to cook, but I happen to love to eat, so I do a lot of cooking, okay? You know, we need laundry done, and again, I have lots of kids, so laundry is a big thing because it has to be done. There's certain things that have to get done in order for your life to work. Those are necessary, but they're not the important things. The things that are important in your life are the things that give your life meaning. They're the things that make us feel happy. Like, something like Ruchi was saying, like, for her, it's like doing the Kiruv, whereas, like, she recognizes the necessary is the cooking. For some people, okay, it's taking a walk or exercising. For some people, it's davening. For some people, but I want to just say one thing. Every single person, when I do time management, the first thing I tell everybody is, I want you to find one thing that gives you meaning and reminds you about what you're doing. It could be, by the way, for some people at some stages in life, for some stages of my life, it was taking a nap. It was like I got the kids out and the only way I was going to survive was to go back to sleep for 20 minutes, half an hour, not the whole morning, even though I wanted to. so that I could survive. So for everybody, it's going to be different. Okay, like I said, for some people it's going to be, now, and you're not necessarily going to be able to do that every day, but there must be one, I always say, the first time slot you put is make sure you put in those important, whether it be, and that's going to include something that keeps you going, that's going to include time with your husband, that's going to include time with your kids, that's going to include like the number one things, okay, and you need to put, now, one of the mistakes is, like say the nap, okay, when, you know, when I think that nap, I wanted the whole morning to sleep, but that was not realistic. So I learned how to like go back to bed for half an hour. So some people they'll need an hour, but like the minimum amount of time I could do it. Okay? I personally, you know, need downtime. Okay, everybody's different, but for me, like I need downtime. I have to be on a lot. I have to talk a lot. I like, you know, so for me it was like, ready? 10 minutes. Downtime at night where I turn off the phone, where I like, and I just either read or think or like, and those 10 minutes, like, I just really, I go into my room and it's just, that's it. And it's scheduled. At a certain point, I used to have to schedule taking a shower when I had a bunch of little kids. You know what? I just want to say this. Like, I think it's very important to recognize that, like, even though I would like a 3-day vacation, I can only get a morning vacation sometimes. But taking that morning off and going to the COSEL or going wherever I'm going to go or just even, jealous. What? What'd you say?
I think it's jealous.
Okay, so I don't always get to go to the COSEL, but sometimes I go into my room, okay? Can I just tell you, sometimes I just turn off the phone, you know, close everything and literally go into my room. Okay, and sometimes even my husband and I should just know, like, we used to have this thing like Matzei Shabbos Malava Malka, and then like our kids got too big, like they want to be with us and sit with us, like nothing works, like, you know, or we tried to go on a date or something, so we started just like sometimes just going into our room and locking the door for like 15, you know, half an hour, you know, and eating an ice cream and whatever it is we wanted to, like, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, part of it is recognizing that you can do it and it might not be the ideal way. Like I might not be able to go on, you know, a week vacation, but I could go for a morning maybe someplace. I can do something and I can put those things in and I can do that. And I feel like that is, I feel like any person who's successful long term always puts that in, because if we burn ourselves out and we don't fill ourselves up, Rebbetzin Greenberg was one of my teachers, Allah Shalom, you know, woman to woman she was, and I always remember her saying, I remember when I first heard it, she's told this story, I used to get so upset every time somebody told that story about the woman, there's only one egg. Every time I heard that story, I would get upset. But you know what I realized, and she used to say this, and it's really true, like an empty pitcher can't pour. If we don't fill ourselves up with those important things that make our meaning, and also for our kids, and also for our husbands, we can't keep going, and you can't keep going long term. You can't develop long term. Okay, so I feel like that's one of the most important things about prioritizing.
I just want to clarify what you mean.
Yeah.
You mean meaningful for yourself. Is that what you
yeah,
mean?
But it might be a share. If, like, again, different people, like for me, for instance, like, you know, me personally, I need a lot of these things. I'll be really honest. I need a lot of these things. I work hard. I have a lot going on in my life. I need a lot of these things. I need like 10 minutes of quiet at night, but I need like a share. So I listen to it when I'm doing the dishes. Meaning if you think about what you need, you can start to fill yourself up with those things. I need time with my husband, which is very hard to find, especially now, like his schedule changed, and he's literally gone from 7 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, finding those times, like, are not always so easy, but you have, like, that's why I said, it takes planning to do that. If you recognize the importance of these things, and you plan them in your schedule, okay, and you make them really part of the schedule, they will happen. But it takes that forethought. If you don't think about it beforehand, you're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I know, you know, again, like one of the things I love to do is talk to my family who live in America, and it's like a total, so the only time I can do it is Thursday night, late at night. So like instead of resenting that I'm up Thursday night, late at night, I look forward to when I'm like really disorganized and I'm up at like 1 in the morning still, because then I can call my sister and we can schmooze, and she'll always say the same same thing. What are you doing up so late? Which is so nice because nobody else cares that I'm up so late, right? And I'll say, what do you mean? I'm in the kitchen. She goes, yeah, I'm going to be doing the same thing a few hours, right? And it's like, I look forward to that. So, but those kinds of things take a little bit of thought so that you can plan them. And once they're planned, having like today, like shiurim, there are just so many shiurim. So like, I'm just saying those things, yes, but only if the shiur is what gives you meaning. That's what I'm saying. Like davening or tehillah, anything, whatever it is. If it's a walk, I do water aerobics now on Tuesday mornings. Like people are always pushing for me to like meet with them on a Tuesday morning. I'm like, and it's funny because it's in Geula, so I can meet with people for afterwards in town. So like, until 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, like it would take, I don't know, I don't know what it would take, but it'd take a lot to get me to give up my water aerobics. I'm just saying this because I want to point out that sometimes we feel like Kiruv is important and this is important and this meeting. But again, I really feel strongly, you know, like I got this from my resident, and I really believe that if you want to keep going long term, this is something that I see in all successful, like, you know, people who are able to keep things going long term. Okay. Yeah? Next thing is, I just want to say this, is goals. I want to say this about goals. Like, we all have goals. We don't realize, like, a goal could be to take a shower. It could be that little, okay? And that, like, sometimes in your life when you have babies and stuff, I remember, like, when my first kid was born, she had ear trouble, whatever, I remember, like, one of my big goals was, like, taking a shower, getting, like, so your goals can be very small. They could be big goals, okay? When I took on the job at Erla Elif, I made some goals that took me 7 to 10 years to achieve them, but step by step. But if you don't make those goals, okay, what ends up happening is it all swims in your head, because like anybody who's involved in Kiruv and community, we all have a lot of ideas, and we're all very involved, and we know all the things that need to be done for Klal Yisrael and for this one and for that one, and right? So I found that like creating goal sheets for myself, and again, not complicated. I have a sheet. I have like a black book. That's my like, everything is in that one book. It's basically a calendar. So in the front, I have my like I call it my ongoing list. Now those goals could be as little as like, I don't know, calling the repairman to fix the door, which also sometimes can be, to like, you know, create a whole new program for Klal Yisrael on like follow-up for college campus people that I'm working on now, okay? I just want to show you how varied they could be. But if I keep it on my list, not to make myself nervous and pressure myself, but so that I keep it when the time comes, then I can get to it. So that way, in other words, but making those goals, and again, the goals could be little. I wanted to say something. The difference between a wish, a want, and a goal is a wish is like, I wake up in the morning and I say, sorry, does somebody know just what time we're supposed to finish? 'Cause
6:45,
okay. A wish is like, I get up in the morning, it's a gorgeous day, and I go, I wish I could go to the beach today. Now, I'm not really going to go to the beach today. I wish I could, you know? And, okay, a want is, I don't know, I want to get something done. I want to, I want to give a slightly more abstract one. Let's just think. I want a new outfit. Good. I want to go shopping for a new outfit. Now, I want to do that, but I'm not necessarily going to do that today. Okay, but I'm going to put that on my list. Now, a goal is, and this is what I want to point out to you, when I actually can commit to doing one step towards the goal. So now, I would take folding the laundry. So I might not fold all the laundry today, but I might fold some of the laundry. I might not put it away, but I might fold it. I might just get it out of the dryer and put it in the bags underneath my bed that waits for the time when I can fold them. Okay? But, okay, a goal is when I could be committed and I could put it into I can break it down into small steps. Now, that's a very important thing because, for instance, I'll give you an example. Making Pesach. The minute everybody says making Pesach, fear like reigns in us, right? But really, making Pesach, if you break it down to its steps, is not so bad. If I said to you, you have to like clean out one drawer today, not the messy drawer, but like one drawer, you know, clean your, you know, one drawer today. That's a doable thing. It doesn't like, and part of what happens with like a lot of our stuff is there's just so much stuff. It's so out there. Like when she was saying it's swimming in our head, the minute we can, again, break it down and put it into steps, which is what a lot of the charts you're going to see is about. It's just saying, okay, let's say, and I'm going to talk about making Pesach or making Shabbos, because a lot of the things we do, and I'm going to bring up Shabbos and I'm going to get into the charts now. Say making Shabbos. Now really, we don't think about this because we do it every week, Baruch Hashem, right? When I first started learning about it, there's some very good, excellent books by somebody by the name of Denise Schoenfeld, and she wrote the books, Secrets of an Organized Housewife, I think it's called. Anyway, one of the things that struck me, she has a whole thing there on making Thanksgiving dinner. And I thought to myself, that's really funny. Making Thanksgiving dinner, we make 3 Thanksgiving dinners every week for Shabbos. But not only that, making Shabbos includes, you have to have the laundry ready. It includes that you have to have your house cleaned. It includes, like, I want you to realize, like, the reason that it's challenging is there's really a lot of parts to what we're doing. It's not just, you know, one thing. And really, it's pretty amazing that we do it every week, and we do it for so many guests and in so many ways. But we have to realize that there's, like, so the minute we have, like, the charts and the organizational system for making Shabbos, it becomes much more doable, okay? And that's why I say, like, one of the things is learning how to break things down to those doable steps so that it's not this, like, you know, it's like when somebody makes a Shabbaton, right? I'm sure everybody, when they first got the job, making a Shabbaton seemed like, once you've done it, you've got, like, the steps down, right? You know that making a Shabbaton has, I don't know, the transportation, the food, and you divide each part up, right? It's a very different thing. Now, that's important. I'm going to get to the chart in a minute. I wanted to say this in terms of delegation also. Because one of the reasons that it's hard to delegate is you, in order to delegate to somebody else, you have to be very clear what you want them to do. Because otherwise, it's never going to be done right. Like if you say to a cleaning lady, clean my house, she's going to clean her house the way she wants to clean the house, not the way you want to clean the house. So for instance, she might spend 3 hours cleaning your bathroom when really you wanted your fridge cleaned for 3 hours and she doesn't even get to the fridge because she ran out of time because you didn't tell her exactly how to do it. Once it's clear in your head and you've broken it down on the pieces, then you have the ability to delegate to other people and to figure out, like, how to delegate. So you're right. It's interesting because you said this. You actually said, well, one of the things is you actually have to be organized enough to delegate. And that's really true.
Guys, it's like delegating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find that a weakness of mine that I've worked on is delegating because they do a better job.
That's right.
Than the person who will delegate.
That's right.
So why should I delegate? Someone once gave me, like, kind of a rule of thumb, it might have been you, that if the person can get the job 80% done the way you would have done it, you would have given them a B, that's good enough for you to delegate the job to them if you're specific. And then just move on. If you really don't want to delegate it, keep it. But they're not going to do it as best as you can. You need to go to that knowing and just let go sometimes.
That's right. Okay.
Also, something that I've learned from delegating, I'm just sorry, is that people feed off of your trust in them when you delegate. So, like, if you, however much you empower them to do the job, that's how good it's going to be.
Right.
And even if they don't do the job well, if you just keep encouraging them, they can do things that you would never.
Right. And I just want to say this because sometimes people confuse well and different. Okay, you know, like, my husband will not do things, like, with the kids the way I will. It doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means it's different. And you'll be surprised sometimes how when you give the job to somebody else, maybe their different idea might even be better than your own to begin with. It takes some time for us to sometimes acknowledge it because we think that the way we do it is so much better. But really, it's not necessarily true that it always has to be done the way we want it done. And, you know, sometimes when you give people the opportunity to do it, they'll do it differently. And if you stop a minute to think about it, sometimes that difference is fine. It didn't have to be the way I did it. Okay? I want to, okay, so I should have had this just because I didn't know if I was going to make it to the conference or not. I didn't, when the secretary didn't collate this for me, I didn't make a big deal out of it because I thought, who even knows if I'm even going to, but no, it's fine. So what I did is, what I plan to do, and I'm not sure that I even have enough for everybody, but we can, okay. So this is the old cover to my book. If anybody remembers and still has the old copy, this is not the Okay, I'm going to put this there for you for afterwards. One second. This is the stepping into Shabbos. Hold on.
Do any of your classes online or on the CCTV or anything? For those who didn't
take any of the ones that I give in Ner Aleph are online. Anything else is usually not online. Okay, but this is one of the ones that I give in Ner Aleph. Is that I actually do stepping into Rosh Hashanah. But it's the same concept. What? I have all of them here for you right now. And as I brought all my handouts. I brought my calendars. I brought, okay, so what I do want everybody to get, I hope there's enough, is stepping into Shabbos, but if not, you can get. What? I mean, we could deal with all that afterwards. There just wasn't a chance. Like, so just. If you take some of the cash back, okay, I just need one copy for myself here. Okay, and this is the kind of idea of what I mean when I say simple, okay. Pass them back. People can share, but there's not enough. Okay. And, okay, I just need one for myself, and then we'll see how we're missing, and we'll deal with that afterwards, okay? I might even have more because I just. Oh, wait, here. There's one more. Somebody. Okay.
Yeah, I already have a problem.
Okay, can I get through with it and then we'll and then you'll ask your questions? Okay, stepping into Shabbos. The first thing you always need to know is what time does Shabbos start because you need to know when your finish line is, yeah?
Well, that's a good question. You need to bring that up. We have a good question. We'll wait.
The quorum they worked together on, it must be really good. Okay. What time does Shabbos start? Now, also, you know that if Chazal already explained this to us, they already gave us 18 minutes, and usually it's 40, but we even know that already, so it doesn't work. But if you aim to be exactly at candlelighting, you will not make it exactly at candlelighting. If you aim to be at least 20 minutes earlier, you know, if we have time at the end, I'll tell everybody the 7-12 minute principle rule, but with the transition time. But okay, so you need to leave yourself, you know, aim for a little bit early. Don't aim, and certainly don't aim to use that last 20 minutes, because then, like, okay, we know what that means. Okay, list.
You put the food in the oven then.
What?
Like, I always find that with Shabbos, that the food has to go, you can't put it in 2 hours.
We're going to talk about that. Okay, lists of things to do. No, she's talking about the heating up. She's talking about heating it up. Okay, can we, everybody write down your questions? We won't kick anybody out for talking out of line, though, okay? We won't send you to the principal's office. Lists of things to do. Okay, now, when you talk about lists of things to do, there's a few different lists. And I have here, like, a Shabbos preparation list. There are certain things you have to do every week. Make that list. There are certain things that can only be done last minute, like putting the food on the blech. How last minute? Everybody has to decide. So that's why I say, when you make your Shabbos preparation list, the first thing is make that list. Then look at it, and you'll see that, for instance, I have Kenai Nahara's 6 boys. They wear white shirts, lots of them. I don't have to save the ironing for Friday morning. I make sure the shirts are done by, ready, Monday. Okay, especially because if I'm aiming for the shirts on Monday, they'll be done at least by Thursday. Okay, now, so there's lots of things on this list that do not have to be done last minute. So, and also because they're done every week, I don't have to rewrite that list. I just have that list. I have that list of the things that have to be done every week. I have the list of the last minute, like, checklist, and it's there. I don't have to recreate it every week. But like I said, there's a lot of things that don't have to be done on Friday. There's a lot of things that don't have to be done on Thursday. Okay? There's a lot of tricks we can do about, like, you know, which we can go into. But I'm just saying, in terms of the preparation, there's just a lot of things that could be done beforehand. And if you do something every day beforehand, as opposed to leaving everything for Friday, then it works a lot better. Okay, so, and if you have that list that's set up, and I'm, again, this list is here, and it includes your Shabbos preparation list and your last minute list for the things that get done every week. The hot water button, you know, kumkum, what do you call it? Urn. The hot water urn has to be put up. The, you know, so there's certain things that just...
Incense for just
you know, right. There are certain things that everybody knows their list. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, candles could be set up Thursday night. You know, I started, I'll just tell you something else. I actually started, now I couldn't do this when my kids were little. I couldn't set the table until the 5 seconds before my husband came in because it wouldn't have lasted. But at this stage of my life, I set the table Thursday night. And I just want to tell you, it is such a nice, I'm not telling you to do that at your stage, but I'm just saying there are a lot of things, there's a lot of things, it's the kind of thing it makes, what? No. I'm not telling you which one to do, but I'm just pointing, I'm giving example of things that could be done, or things, it's just a matter of thinking. I'm not telling you which one to do. I also, anyone who's worked with me knows that I'm not one of those people, like, I remember when, I just want to tell you this, when I was like a first, you know, mother, and somebody gave a parent class, I never forgot this, like, the person was like very specific, like, this is how to be a good mother, this is how you have to organize, and I remember her saying, in order to like make your house organized and be a good mother, you have to get up an hour before your children and like start. Now at that time, I just have to tell you, I'm a night person. And I thought 6 o'clock in the morning was a time that people go to bed. It never dawned on me that there are people who wake up at 6 a.m. So, and I had a baby who actually woke up at 5 a.m. and would be like, and I would be like, she was a morning kid. I was like, and I'd be like, anything like was so hard for me. So can you imagine? So this woman is saying you have to get up an hour before your. I said, that's it. I don't have to be a good mother. It's just not doable. But one of the things I've learned is that I really work with people, that everybody has to, and that's why I'm not saying do it this way, because part of it is learning what, you know, works for you. Okay, let me just go on to menu plan. And I want to just point something out. Some people have basically the same, everybody has a certain sameness to their menu, but some people really make the same thing every week. Now, if you make the same thing every week, right, like, you know, like my brother wants the exact same, my sister-in-law for years and years makes the exact same Shabbos every week. So you have your set menu. You don't have, now, but if you're somebody like me that I like variety, my husband, but you know, there's always a first course, a main course, and a dessert. Okay? Like, it's kind of a set thing. And you can have your choices of your things that you make, that you plug into it every week. Okay? And you don't have to wait until Thursday night to do that. You can actually do that on Sunday or Monday, which makes the Shabbos preparation, like shopping and everything, a lot easier. And we could spend a lot of time talking about ways to make the menu, but I just want to say this, because I do know when you're in Kiruv, this is one of the big, I thought everybody was going to say this, like one of the big hassles is that you never know how many guests you have, you have tons of guests, you're going to have tons and tons of people, and this is one of the challenges of, and anybody who knows me knows that we used to be the last minute Shabbos family. You know what that means? That means that when your kids go to seminary or you send students, you tell them if you're ever stuck and it's 5 minutes before Shabbos, you don't have a place to go, you call this number. My friend, you know, Miss Levine, she'll take you in. So that was what we used to do. So when people tell me about how they don't know how many guests and this, I'm like, you know, I really know what that's about, because we never knew how many guests were coming. And, you know, we had tricks like not setting the table and just putting, I mean, you know, just putting the stuff in the middle because we didn't know how many people, and setting the table with a bunch of chairs. And like, there's all kinds of things you could do. But one of the things is also with the cooking, and I just want to say this, you know, so there's always having extras in the freezer. Okay, but one of the things is you don't have, again, you want to make a nice meal, but you know, making a kugel is a lot harder than making chicken with potatoes underneath. And you can make potatoes and sweet potatoes with chicken on top, and you have your chicken and two side dishes, and it's just a lot easier when you're making lots of people than making potato kugel. But if you are making a carrot kugel or an apple crisp or a plum crisp or any of these fancy things that I don't make, but if I do, I double it and put it in the freezer. Okay, because it's not the kind of thing you need, you know, that many. There's certain things that you're putting out because you want to make it that much nicer, and not everybody eats that much of it, etc. So, like, make them, and you can make them ahead of time. So there's certain things you could just have in your freezer. You can put out, you know, deli is a great thing. If it's you know, it's not cheap, but you can always put out deli when you get unexpected guests. We always had extra deli. And, you know, the more guests, and lots of challah, you know, so that it didn't matter how many guests came, because there was always just lots of challah, lots of deli, and you could always put that out. So somebody said to me, and like, you weren't embarrassed? I'm like, no, because one of the things I know is the guests don't care so much. Now, if it looks nice, and you are smiling and you are happy and you are inviting, people are really happy to be there. And it doesn't have to be like we feel like it has to be so gourmet, it has to be this. You know, it doesn't have to be. There just has to be lots of food and, you know, like a welcoming atmosphere. And it's certainly better to have less fancy food and have you at the table than have you like this at the table, you know. Okay.
I was going to say, one of the rabbis that were with us for a while, Rabbi Shatkin, he used to say, everybody goes home to a refrigerator, like, you know, because we're always panicked, oh, there's not going to be enough food and they're going to starve. Mm-hmm. He would say, everybody goes to a refrigerator at home. And they leave a little hungry, they'll have
to eat. I have a question about the walk-ins. We have this all the time. People will sit on my couch and I'll say, how are you really having tonight? And I'll say, I don't know. And they think I'm kidding. I say, I really, really don't know. I get used to it. I do exactly what you say. I'm really good at it. Rice makes a lot. Soup makes a lot. Chicken, beef. I just make a lot. I don't measure. My kids will run from school and say, I will send 5 more people. The problem I have with it, and maybe you want to address it at a different time, is that it's not about the food. Sometimes it's just energy. Especially like when I really thought we were only going to have this one couple, or we're going to have a quiet child. And I'm just very depleted from the week, and I don't have this energy to say,
ready?
Oh, you are. It's so nice to see you.
Ready?
I really feel like they already came for 3 weeks in a row.
That's
and
right.
I need a break from that.
That's right. That is really challenging. That's not the organizational thing, but I will address it for a minute. Okay. A lot of people who are near La'Aleph know my famous story about when I was expecting, one of my sons. I was really at the end of the pregnancy, and we said, this is it. This Shabbos, we're not having, this, I think it was Rosh Hashanah maybe. It was either Rosh Hashanah or Shabbos. We're not having any guests, okay? And but there was always lots of food. And what ended up happening was, first, my niece was in seminary called.
I know the story. Well, person, but you said.
And then, wait. So first my niece called. She's like, she was like one of the like more like, one of the more open kind of seminaries. Okay. Then my cousin called me from Canada. Her son's on some sort of program. He's like 14, and he wants to come. I wasn't smart enough to say, tell him to bring a friend. Okay, so now he was coming. Okay, then somebody called and said, we used to have a lot of divorcees and like single mother or whatever families. So we had this one woman, Nebuchadnezzar, son was like really in bad shape, like he was on drugs, really messed up. And she calls me and says, you know, my son said he'll come for Rosh Hashanah meal if it could be at your house. Well, okay, so now they were coming. Okay, then Erev Yontif, there was a knock on the door, and the seminary that we said no to sent 2 girls for sleeping in all the meals. Okay. By the way, that was like the frummest seminary in Yerushalayim. Okay. So these two frummy girls. Wait a second. And then, does anyone know what Beit Ulpana is? I'd also said no to Beit Ulpana. The girls showed up, 4 Russians, didn't speak any, okay. So, like, also one of the things is when we make the Shabbos table.
I only have one Shabbos like this. I would think that your whole life is like that.
No, it was only, that could happen, but not that I just, when I had said no guests, I was really, okay. I just want to say, my first, what? What'd you say?
Listen, you go into labor.
Okay, so I just want to say this. My first response as this was happening was extreme frustration and I can't handle this. Okay? But so part of it is, a lot of times it's our own, part of it was I realized, I didn't want to handle this, but if Hashem sent this to me, I could handle this. But the other thing was, I knew, and I just want to say this, I knew that the mix at the table was going to be a disaster. There was no way that the mix of people, there was no way that we could make this work. Just none, okay, to make it work ideally. But you know what? I just realized, it's out of my hands. You know, so I can't tell you how any of those guests felt at that meal or that Rosh Hashanah, okay? I did not take a poll afterwards, okay? It makes a great story to tell at my Kiruv things, but I do want to say I got through that and lots of nights like that, and I realized that one of the things is that Number one, I just want to say this. Number one is, and I want to say this very clearly, if it had been in my control, that would not have happened. Meaning it's okay to say no when you really feel like you can't. But when it's not in your control and it happens, you just say, you know what? I didn't plan it this way. I'm not my best. This isn't going to be our best Shabbos meal. Nobody's going to go away from this table and go, wow, Rachel Yagobian's amazing. What an amazing family, which was always one of my pet peeves. People come, they start talking about all the amazing families at your table or about the food that somebody else made last night. I was so pleased. She made such good food, and I'm serving like salami and the chillum burnt and like, you know, and I feel like saying, go to her. What are you doing at my table? Right? Okay. But I just want to say that it really doesn't matter, and that's part of it, is that like sometimes we feel like we have to be so on and the table has to be so perfect. And I want to just say this also, like, my kids don't behave. Okay, and they, like, there were those Shabbos where they'd stand up and they'd go, you know, and they'd say their Dvar Torah and they'd, but most of the weeks, my kids really did not behave. And my kids did things like, literally, boys, like one of them broke the other's Lego and one of them really once, I turn on the tape, really, like, my kids once, like, not just once, we'll be honest, lots of times would chase each other with a bread knife screaming, I'm gonna kill him, I'm gonna kill him. The guest would be like, okay. I remember once one of the guests was said to my husband, he said, your son's chasing your other son with a knife. And my son's husband said, yes, he is. You noticed. You noticed.
But you know what? So like, reaction, that right. Was okay.
Right, exactly. So she goes, do something. So my husband said, you want to make the show better? I should get up and start running after them also. Okay, like, what do you think we should do? And my husband basically said, like, you know, the big kid is faster than the little kid, and, you know, it's a bread knife, and, you know, and we moved on with the meal. But I'm pointing this out because sometimes I feel like we feel like it has to be so perfect, and the food has to be so perfect, and we have to be so on. So you know what? Some nights I wasn't so on. I can tell you, that Rosh Hashanah, I was probably not so nice to the guests. I think I served and, like, you know, probably like went into my room and it was okay. You know, they could all entertain themselves. It wasn't going to be perfect.
Seriously.
Okay? Wait, can I just say this? I just want to go on because step four, which we didn't say, was how many and which guests, which, as I just said, that whole story, part of it is you do want to try and have guests that you feel will, because one of the tricks when you have a lot of people is if the guests can talk to each other, you don't have to be on so much. Okay? You know, so people sometimes complain about, like, having lots of people. Like, it's sometimes much easier as long as you can, like, control the conversation or what's going on. Having, like, when you have a lot of people, they entertain themselves. Okay? Okay, I thought we had until 6:45. Was that incorrect? We were told 6:45. I was told. Okay. Okay. Just very quickly, I have 6:40. But thank you. I'm just going to say this. Do this quickly. Children's schedules and ways to make Shabbos happy for them. Okay. I feel like in Kiruv, this is crucial. If the kids feel like you. Like they're cheated by the guests, and they're and like you're, oh, guests are coming. We have to make it perfect, and I'm so stressed, and I'm so this. They're gonna hate having it. If they take part of it, and they feel happy, and they feel good, and we've thought about like how to make them happy during the meal, also like, and I just want to say this in my house. We used to not, if people came early, we talked to them. If not, we didn't. We used to say to them, we're really sorry we're not making introductions now, but our kids need Kiddush. I used to serve my kids first because, like, why make them wait for everybody else? I always served them first because they were hungry and that way they felt. And then we gave like 10 minutes of attention where they got to say their parsha or whatever it was, and then they were allowed to leave the table. And then we paid attention to the guests. And we also let them choose where to sit, if they wanted to sit next to a guest or didn't want to sit next to a guest, so that they didn't feel okay. And then I just want to say step six was personal preparation, okay, which is, like I said, making sure that you have a little bit of time to prepare yourself, that you have time to get dressed, etc. I'm going to put out my sheets now.
What's your spiritual preparation?
Me personally,
like, what does that mean?
Sometimes it's an app.
Right.
sometimes I, for me, it's like, I like to eat, like I said, Thursday night, I either listen to, you know, they have this thing, I think they have it here, they have Kol Lashon, but I like, Chazak has like this 10-minute Parsha thing every week. Like, it's great. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't, but at least it's a thought. Like, I really feel like I don't need a whole shir, I need one good thought to focus on. Yeah, there's a Chazak line that I... Okay, if people want, there's the Shabbos preparation list, there's a sample menu list. I just want to...